right now at 7.
I can't control what they do or what they say. I just know that ultimately we are here to work with Walgreens.
San Francisco city leaders slammed the idea that rampant retail theft is driving Walgreens out of town. Now the drugstore is doubling down.
Another red flag warning goes into effect tomorrow. I'm tracking the dry and windy conditions in your forecast.
And time is up for a lot of people who work in and for a big Bay Area city to prove they're vaccinated. The pushback tonight from the police.
We've been masking. We still test. What is wrong with that?
And an unusual start to today's proceedings in the Elizabeth Holmes trial as the judge questioned the jury.
But right now on the KPIX 5 News at 7, streaming on CBSN Bay Area, there appears to be some bad blood in San Francisco tonight between the city leaders and one of the nation's largest pharmacy chains. Good evening. I'm Ken Bastida.
And I'm Elizabeth Cook. This all has to do with why Walgreens says it's closing stores in San Francisco, a story that made headlines across the country. Tonight, Mayor London Breed is pushing back against the idea that rampant retail theft was the main reason behind Walgreens' decision to shut down 5 more locations.
They are saying that's the primary reason, but I also think when a place is not generating revenue and when they're saturated, San Francisco has a lot of Walgreens locations all over the city. So I do think that there are other factors that come into play.
Now, shortly after the mayor spoke, City Supervisor Dean Preston fired off a series of tweets claiming the closures are part of a previously announced consolidation plan. But Walgreens tells us tonight those cuts were already complete before the new San Francisco closures were announced. The 5 stores closing next month join 17 others a retailer announced a few months ago would be shutting down. The reason Walgreens gave at that time was also retail theft.
I'll check your weather right now. Fresh round of fire danger blowing our way as we take a live look outside right now.
Chief Meteorologist Paul Hagan is watching the winds for us, Paul. Yeah,
those are going to pick up through the day tomorrow. The good news is they're not going to be as strong as what we had earlier this week, so the fire danger isn't going to be quite as high up the scale, but it's still enough for a red flag warning that goes into effect at 10 a.m. tomorrow for Solano County, but it's not like the fire threat ends at the county line. We're still going to be looking at an elevated fire threat for parts of Napa County, especially the higher elevations, from late tomorrow morning, really through about early to mid-afternoon. The warning goes through 8 p.m., but I think the threat is going to be decreasing as we head towards late afternoon and early evening. We're going to see gusty northwesterly winds picking up, potentially gusting to about 35 miles an hour in the higher elevations within the red shaded counties and also Napa County, while humidity levels are going to be dropping to the 10 to 20% range. We're going to track those humidity levels hour by hour for the North Bay and Solano County coming up in the full forecast.
All right, thank you, Paul. Tonight, PG&E says it is scaling back its plans for safety, public safety power shutoffs from 29,000 customers to about 16,000, and that includes just under 5,000 in Napa, Solano, and Sonoma counties who could lose their power starting early tomorrow morning. Now, to see if your address is on that list, we have posted a link to PG&E's power shutoff page on KPIX.com.
Take a live look at Oracle Park. Time to talk some baseball. The Giants have won 109 games this year, including the 2 playoff wins over the Dodgers. But they'll need one more win tomorrow night to keep their season alive.
I've heard Glenn just got back from L.A. and has a preview of the deciding Game 5. Vern?
Well, when the Warriors have a big game, Steph Curry always says, rise up. Giants, Dodgers, how about everybody behind the Giants, lock in. Giants, loose and focused today. Kirk Casale let us know it's football season 2. Eve of a 6:07 first pitch at Oracle Park. Late night, Lamont Wade Jr., he got a hit last night. And when you can yawn in the big moments, like Game 5 starter Logan Webb, that's saying something. He'll be loaded with his favorite energy drink by game time.
I've always loved Red Bull. I honestly started drinking it when I was in travel ball, when I was really young. Don't be mad at my dad or mom or anything about that. But that was kind of me and my brother's thing. Right when I get to the field, right before I start my stretch with the trainer, and then at the end of my warm-up, so 3.
Sorry, you drink 3 Red Bulls?
I do, yes. I'm not as bad as Belt, though. Belt is the worst.
How many does he drink?
I don't know. He'll have like pre-workout. He was the other day, he was just drinking pre-workout in like the seventh inning. I'm like, what are you doing? He's just, I like the caffeine.
Hey, get ahead, stay ahead any way you can. I know it's easier said than done against Julio Urías of the Dodgers. Hard to believe a 109-win team is going to go home after tomorrow. Wow. What a year for both of these franchises.
Absolutely. I can't get past the three Red Bulls, though. That's just, how is he not just jumping off the ceiling? My goodness.
That's just painful for me to visualize just down in that.
I wouldn't sleep for a week. All right, Fern, thanks.
It won't be cheap to get into Oracle Park tomorrow night. According to StubHub, the cheapest seats are just under $200 each. You want a spot behind home plate, that's going to set you back as much as $5,000 per seat. Of the 5,400 seats available, the going rate averaging about $445.
Live look at San Francisco. Today was the deadline for lots of people who work in the city or for the city to be vaccinated. So how's that going? Well, that's what we sent KPIX5's Max Darrow to find out for us. Max?
The city's vaccine mandate went into effect about 2 months ago for people who want to patronize indoor businesses like restaurants, bars, and gyms. Today, it took effect for employees at those kinds of businesses, plus a group of city employees as well. The signs that say vaccines required up at restaurants, bars, and many other indoor businesses in San Francisco now apply to both customers and employees.
If I'm going to go in and sit down with a bunch of people I don't know, maskless, to have a meal, it makes me feel more comfortable knowing that everybody there has been vaccinated.
When the city put the vaccine mandate in place, they gave employers about 2 months to ensure their employees were fully vaccinated.
You know, it went over a lot easier than we anticipated.
Bob Partwright runs five restaurants and a cafe at Pier 39.
Most of our staff complied and provided proof of vaccination. We only had about three employees that resigned due to the fact that they didn't want to get the vaccination.
So in theory, everyone inside these kinds of indoor businesses, customers and staff, are vaccinated.
I think it's a huge game changer. This is probably pretty much as safe as it gets in the city of San Francisco since the pandemic.
Back on the pier, Partwright hopes the vaccination policy will make people more comfortable with going out.
All patrons and staff inside the dining rooms are vaccinated. I think it's a safe place to come.
In San Francisco, Max Darrow, KPIX 5.
Police officers who are in between their first and second shots got a late extension. They will now have until November 12th to fulfill the requirement. Some first responders rallied against the mandate outside City Hall. According to the fire chief, 41 active members of the department are currently out of compliance with the vaccine policy. And the Police Officers Association says 120 sworn officers are unvaccinated.
You know, when you're a parent trying to get your kid to do something and you can't argue with them anymore because they're smarter than you, and you go to the parent thing. Well, I'm the parent because I said so. And that's what this feels like.
The mayor told us today the city's human resources department is working with people on an individual basis, but at the end of the day, it will do what it has to do.
Latest twist in the Elizabeth Holmes fraud trial had nothing at all to do with anything that was said by a witness. The judge delayed the start of today's proceedings to speak with the jurors directly about the potential release of their personal information from their pretrial questionnaires. This is a common practice, but it usually happens during an appeal after a trial, not in the middle.
Had these jurors been told at the outset that these questionnaires could have been disclosed to the media during the trial, I think you could have chilled this jury and it could have created a big problem.
Whatever happens, it won't happen soon. The judge is looking at setting a hearing date on this issue several weeks from now.
A new push to get illegal ghost guns off the streets. The state is joining San Francisco's lawsuit against three of the largest suppliers of the untraceable firearms. It alleges that the companies Glock Store, Black Hawk, and MDX Performance violated state laws that require them to apply for serial numbers. And the DA says they misled the public into believing that the weapons were legal.
And we know that in this day and age, there is nothing that presents a graver threat to public safety than guns, specifically unserialized ghost guns that are being dumped into our communities and into the hands of people who are prohibited from possessing firearms.
Now, according to the DA's office, police in San Francisco seized 164 ghost guns in 2020. That's a 2,600% increase from the six confiscated back in 2016.
Still to come.